We're going to go down and bring in J.P. Hornstra, who, of course, covers the Dodgers, the Southern California News Group. We love having J.P. on. J.P., this National League West is sort of living up to what we always used to call the Wild, Wild West. We saw it yesterday with a game here. Colorado and Arizona went down to the last nail-biting pitch, and Kershaw had a lead and couldn't hold it in Milwaukee. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of epitomizing what we've seen in the National League in general this season, where they're, I want to say at the All-Star break, the top six teams, the playoff teams, were separated by less than five games. And then, like, the four teams after that were all roughly four games apart, something like that. There were no, like, clear favorites. Like, this is not the American League, right, where you almost know exactly who's going to be in the postseason. This is a year where the National League is really up for grabs at the top and for the wild card positions. The rebuilding teams in the National League are not as bad as the rebuilding teams in the American League. So there really aren't any easy wins. Like, I saw the Reds sweep a four-game series in Los Angeles, and then I saw the Reds sweep a four-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. It's been really difficult to predict. And specifically in the NL West, I mean, last year, the Dodgers ran away with it, let's be honest. It was a race for second place. Even that was pretty compelling. But the Dodgers have not had it as easy this season. Kershaw's been pretty good when he's been healthy, but last night was not his best night. And when you see what Milwaukee has done since the outset of the season, honestly, that's not too surprising. I think the Dodgers probably have the best lineup in the National League after getting Machado, but Milwaukee's not too far behind, man. That's a really good lineup they have, and they can do that on a given night.
Well, Milwaukee got five innings out of their bullpen last night. Corbin Burns, the young rookie, ended up getting the win. And Josh Hader, who has, boy, had one of those tough weeks, let me tell you, for this man, the left-handed reliever. Two innings for him, four strikeouts. We're going to see him in San Francisco starting on Thursday. What is the issue with the Dodgers? Now, I know since the beginning of May, they're, you know, 20 games over 500. They've got a one-game lead over Colorado, and I want to get your thoughts on Colorado. They've won seven straight. But what's the issue with the Dodgers? And they've got today Wood pitches for them. Suter, a lefty, goes for Milwaukee today. Well, what do you think the issue is with the Dodgers that maybe would hold them back from making this thing a little bit more of a runaway for them?
Well, I mean, you mentioned that things have kind of clicked for them in the last 2 months. If you had asked me this a couple months ago, it would have been a much easier question to answer. But I think the one thing that the Dodgers have lacked this season, really since the beginning, was really that just shutdown middle relief unit. They could get that bridge from the starting pitcher to Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning. Last season, they were really lucky. They called up Brandon Morrow at the beginning of June, and the eighth inning was just as lights out as the ninth. I mean, the Dodgers didn't have to worry about the final six out game. This season, Jansen didn't look like himself at the outset. He didn't really reset until the beginning of May. And they haven't had a single relief pitcher, a single middle relief pitcher, that is, who has been up to that task really from the beginning of the season to the All-Star break. Whether injury or ineffectiveness, they've cycled through setup guys like nobody's business. I mean, it's not that they don't have the personnel in-house. They have a ton of personnel. It's just keeping them on the field and getting out of them what was expected at the beginning of the season has been a real challenge. And at times this season, we've seen the starting pitcher not go as deep as maybe Dave Roberts had liked. So when you shorten that from a seven-inning to a six-inning to a maybe five-plus outing, that middle relief becomes very important, and the Dodgers haven't quite had it. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a move for an eighth-inning guy, seventh-inning guy between now and the trade deadline on July 31st.
Yeah, they're talking about Zach Britton. J.P. Hornstra is with us, Southern California News Group. We love having J.P. on to get all the news in the National League West. But, yeah, they're talking Zach Britton from the Orioles, and that's still something that they're considering, I guess. The Orioles are going to move him anyway. It's just a question of where they're going to move him. J.P., what about Colorado? Freeland pitched last night, and Freeland has been one of their outstanding pitchers. He got blasted out. Godley got blasted out. It became a game of bullpens last night. But when it's all said and done, believe it or not, I'm looking at the standings. Colorado's won 7 in a row. They're 8 over 500. They're now 30-22 away. They finally got to 500 at home. Colorado Rockies, do you think this is a team that could stay in this thing?
Well, when you look at their home record specifically, you figured they couldn't be as bad as their record actually indicated. I think that was due for a little bit of bounce back. And when you look at the lineup, too, it was really hard to watch them roll through Dodger Stadium a couple months ago and see basically two guys carrying that lineup. Like, I can't remember a Rockies lineup that looked so poor. So you figured that was probably due to bounce back as well. Fortunately, Nolan Arenado and Charlie Blackman have gotten some help. The pitching staff has come around. Honestly, I don't see them really being a wild card contender until or unless John Gray comes back the way that the Rockies expected him to. Not every year that you see your opening day starter get demoted to AAA in June or July, but the Rockies felt that that was what they had to do with John Gray, and that really put their rotation at a big disadvantage. I think between now and the end of the season, they're another team that I would expect to see need a trade to really stay in the race, because the rest of the National League, they're not going to slack off. They're not going to just let the Rockies roll in. This winning streak will end at some point. But you look at the team that they had last season and the team that they brought into this season, you figured they were going to be close to a wild card position again. They probably will be there, but again, if they really want to make a run for it, they might need to bolster their roster as well.
It's going to be interesting. They've won 7 in a row. They got a tough game today, I will tell you that, because Zach Greinke is the best thing Arizona's got going. And he goes today against Sensatella, who, is a right-hander, throws hard. But today, I got to think maybe Arizona will put an end to that 7-game winning streak. But we'll see how that goes. I'll let you go with this. You're in Los Angeles. Mike Trout somehow came under some criticism this week from the commissioner's office about bemoaning the fact that they'd love for him to promote himself a little bit more. And then, of course, there was a tremendous reaction on Twitter and all the social media outlets showing how much Mike Trout does with kids. And every day he's bringing a kid on the field. He's having a catch with a kid. He does things that other players don't do. You think Trout got unfairly singled out by the commissioner in this thing?
I think that the commissioner's quote got taken a little bit out of context, to be honest with you. I mean, it was the reporter who asked the commissioner the question that singled out Mike Trout. And the answer in so many words was, if Mike Trout wants to promote himself more, the league would be happy to help him, which you could really say about any star player. It just so happened that this question was about Mike Trout. And I think when you saw the Angels come out with a statement in support of Trout and then Mike Trout come out with a statement through the team saying, let's move on from this, I have no ill will toward the commissioner, it was really just a case of a team trying to get out ahead of a conversation that was sort of spiraling. That was basically public relations 101. I don't think that the team actually took offense to what the commissioner said about Mike Trout. Having said that, I think the commissioner could have probably answered it better. I mean, if he had, like you mentioned, Marty, I mean, if he had a more acute awareness of everything that Mike Trout does do to promote himself, maybe not in a flashy way, maybe not, with associating with billion-dollar brands in huge commercials, but just, reaching out to children and signing autographs and posing for photos with kids before the game. I see him do that every day. And I think that's really the crux of what the Angels were trying to say. If you want to blame the commissioner for not singling that out, you have every right to. I don't personally think the commissioner threw him under the bus or anything.
Well, that's social media, because you get a comment and then it's taken out of context. And before you know it, 50 million people are commenting on it and it takes a life of its own. So he's got to be careful when he says things, especially about players or someone like Trout. Tony Clark had an interesting comment today. Buster Olney had an interesting column, and we'll talk about it on our pregame with some others as well, that when they come up for the next union negotiation, it'll be something with Instagram and Twitter, and they're wondering, will the players stay united, or will the players all of a sudden be giving their opinions on everything? Because they've never had a negotiation that comes through social media. That may be where we're heading, and I think maybe the Manfred thing is the red flag that people have got to understand that we live in a different world today.
Yeah, well, we kind of saw that a little bit in this past offseason where the Major League Players Association and individual players here and there would make some comments, at least on Twitter, that, you know, could have been interpreted as shots at the league easily, if not intended as shots at the league. So I think that's a wise move if you're going to open that up for commentary. And, you know, we've seen that open up for political commentary from other parts of society as well.
Yeah.
Let's address the elephant in the room. Like, don't try to hide it. Let's acknowledge it. And if there needs to be a policy in place, great. If there needs to be something less formal, great. But I think acknowledging it in general is a better policy than trying to pretend it will go away.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think baseball always mirrors what's going on in society. You know, I've said that for years. AmericanInnings.org, that is my site where I work on that. And I think it's happening with social media and baseball now. We've seen it over the last few weeks. Hey, JP, great to have you on with us. I love catching up with you on the West. And we'll watch and see what the trade wins sort of bring for the Dodgers over the next 10 days or so. But that is an Achilles heel. And in today's game, if you can't shut it down from the sixth inning on, you have issues. And I could see things happening. So I appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Marty. Anytime.
Yeah, perfect. J.P. Hornstra, Southern California News Group.